Jerry DiPiano, and you are listening to the Love Mia Vita podcast brought to you by Fem Pharma. Today, my guest is Dr. Olentuyan Toyin Fadeyibi. And Dr. Fadeyibi received her Doctor of Pharmacy degree from Temple University and subsequently obtained a Master in Public Health from Drexel University. Most recently, she was named one of the 2019 honorees for Drexel University's 40 Under 40. In her current role, Dr. Fadeyibi develops, evaluates, and promotes health policies and practices that enhance access to medication-assisted treatment. And she does so much more, so I will have Toyin, may I call you Toyin,
please,
a little bit more about her distinguished background before we launch into our subject, which we'll discuss in a moment.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited to be connected with you and to be here chatting with your audience today. So yes, please call me Toyin. A little other things about me. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. As she mentioned, I'm a pharmacist and a public health professional, specifically in the mental health space. I'm also an author of a women's devotional coloring book and a suite of products for girls and women in desperate need of hope. So I wear a lot of hats, but certainly do my best to do them well. I'm happy to be here today and to get to know you more, Jerry, and to get to know your audience as well.
Oh, thank you, Toyin. We are so excited to have you here today. And among the many topics that Toyin has expertise in discussing, today's topic is going to be a topic that we can all benefit from. There's a lot to be discussed. It's SAMHSA's 8 Dimensions of Wellness. So 8 dimensions, there's a lot of conversation here. So in today's conversation, we're going to cover 4, and then we hope you'll tune in once again to hear part 2, which will be the second 4 dimensions. But today, Dr. Fadeyibi is going to cover at least the first 4. So first of all, SAMHSA, for those of you that aren't familiar with it.
Yeah. So SAMHSA, you can call it SAMHSA. I call it SAMHSA, Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration. That's what the acronym stands for. But more importantly, they are the federal agency responsible, again, on a governmental level, to create public health solutions around mental health and addictions for the citizens of the United States of America. So they do that by developing both broad-scale interventions, as well as making sure that they have resources available to those suffering with mental health disorders, substance use disorders, and their families. They have a very robust website that I point people to often. It's filled with all kinds of resources for folks. So that's who SAMHSA is. And so anytime they release any kind of guidance or toolkits, which they have a ton, I usually jump on them and try to glean from them and then disseminate them to various audiences as it comes up.
So when we think about wellness, most of us tend to think about wellness in 2 dimensions, and the 2 dimensions are diet and exercise, and they are important components of wellness, but wellness encompasses so much more.
Yep, for sure. I came across a couple of really cool definitions that I think would be a good frame for the conversation today before jumping into, listing the 8 and us talking about the 4 today. But I'm going to allow me to read them because a few of them are long and I'm going to try to capture it as concise as I can. This is through SAMHSA, but it was reworded by author Ardell is the name of the author of this quote. It says, wellness is a lifestyle and a personalized approach to living life in a way that allows you to become the best kind of person that your potential, your circumstances, and your fate will allow. And so I love that because it's not the linear, definition that, as you mentioned, neither is it based on a particular philosophy or way of thinking. I think at the end of the day, we have more control than we think we do when it comes to wellness. And I just love how we captured it. And it also says here in terms of balance, right? Like wellness is about finding, and again, balance is another, I don't know if we want to go on that rabbit trail for balance, but I prefer the term harmony than balance, because balance gives the thinking of it has to be equal measure, right? At every given time to be balanced, right? You got to be with your kids the same hours as you work it, which the hours in the day don't even add up that way. But I love the term harmony better, because harmony speaks to knowing, using, let the peace guiding the appropriate measures, and letting the seasons also help to balance how you land with your wellness practices. So that's kind of the frame, I would say, for our conversation today as we think through the 8 dimensions that SAMHSA has broken down wellness into.
You know, I also love the term harmony. And I also, when you were sharing that with us, I think about authenticity. So it has to be you. It has to be you in your particular circumstances. And I believe you mentioned this. Let's face it, your particular circumstances as the mother of 2 young children is going to be very different than my circumstances as the mom of an adult woman, right?
Yes.
And God's son who happened to live with me in my home, and a father-in-law that's aged and needs support. So my authentic self may not be able to equally invest in all of these dimensions.
Yep. And I think you hit it. So the season of life too, right? An empty nester season versus actively engaged in raising and parenting. I can lean more heavily in one direction and another. Now, it doesn't mean that I leave, because, you know, the suggestion and the framework doesn't say, you know, if you're getting 7 out of 8 good, you're great. Like, it is keep 8 within your focus and put the appropriate weight on each one as you navigate life and seasons, right? And so in a particular season, 1, it doesn't mean it's suffering. It just means perhaps you need a tank fill up more on those ones in this season than another season. Financial wellness, right? Just throwing an example out there. My season right now with financial wellness will be very different from your season as someone maybe you're, I mean, I feel like I think of retirement more than I should. However, I'm pretty sure I think of retirement more than I should. But generally speaking, someone who is like late 30s and someone who is 50s, I'm going to just make a great guess, Jerry, at your age, Jake, there's a different thought there. So focus on financial wellness will be different based on those ages and stages of life. So just a practical example there around knowing the appropriate measurements and weight to put on a focus as you navigate life seasons is key. Otherwise, you're carrying pressures that people might not even have for you, but we just make up these pressures for our own selves, you know?
And you said something earlier, and we talk about, when you talk about financial, we often leave that out of the equation because, let's face it, financial disparities do have an impact on our well-being and on the choices that we make for our well-being. So
Absolutely.
You're sending your children to school. Perhaps you're supporting a parent. Perhaps you're the sole breadwinner. You do not perhaps have the opportunity to join a gym. You need to think about other ways to get your fitness in. You perhaps don't have time for an hour each day, but you have some time. Is that 15 minutes? Is it 20 minutes? How much time do you have for meditation? How much time? What is the luxury of time based upon your economic circumstances? So all of this does play
into
ages, financial well-being, and your environmental circumstances.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, we're certainly going to, since we've used financial a little bit now, we'll have to make sure that's part of part one. But before we jump in, I definitely wanted to give that list of 8. And then maybe you kind of throw which ones you want me to tackle for part one. And then we'll go from there. So the first, and this is in no order, I'm just going in order of the circle. the dimensions. So emotional wellness, financial wellness, social wellness, spiritual wellness, occupational wellness, physical wellness, intellectual wellness, and lastly, environmental wellness, which is often like not even, we don't even think about that as much. So I always love talking about environmental wellness as well. So those are the eight dimensions of wellness. And together, they're, you know, kind of hub and spoke in this picture that they've painted around living, having more comprehensive well-being and living fully is within this, all of these together.
So I think about, perhaps we can start with emotional, and then we can bring in the spiritual, number two. I think we'll talk about financial because we did bring that in, intellectual wellness. So why don't we do those four today?
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. One thing I'm gonna start with, I think, I'll put this question to you. I know I'm the one being interviewed, but I'm always curious to learn about folks I'm talking to. What would you say is, if you could pick the most important dimension, maybe not by any standard, just to you, what do you think is the most pivotal foundational one for you personally?
It's an easy one. It's a spiritual one.
Okay. All right. That's just my question. We can circle back to it however way you like, but I was curious and I was like, oh, let me see where you land with that. So we'll start with the emotional wellness, right? Emotional wellness, I think today, especially wellness, I would say is very much a buzzword today, for great reasons, but it's used broadly. More so, I remember even when I was in school 15, 10 years ago, it wasn't talked about as much. Emotional wellness specifically has to do with coping effectively with life and also creating satisfying relationships, first with yourself, though. So the emotional piece for that relationship part is first with yourself. When I think of even the creator of this eight dimensions of wellness and what they stand for, mental health and addictions in general for the country, not having those adequate coping tools, not having a way to process life, not having a way to navigate traumatic situations, is always off. I would say always, but I'm going to go with often, almost always, often directly correlated with a lot of mental health and substance use disorders, especially with substance use disorders, as usually drivers, especially in the initial phases, right? Before the brain starts responding and taking it from there. But oftentimes when you have trauma, whether in the day-to-day struggle of life or aggressive traumas from growing up, the ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and things like that, emotional wellness is a way to get at taking care of those issues. Whether it's through, for some, seeing a therapist, whether it's through practices such as journaling, which for me, I literally call it a lifeline. I love journaling. And there's all kinds of journaling today, too. It's not just the pen and paper. People draw a journal, photo journal. I mean, this, you can go crazy with it. But those are some practical ways, I think, that folks can get better in tune with their emotional wellness. Not just in tune, but improve their emotional wellness. Is having those quality relationships of someone you can talk to, again, if not a therapist, a religious leader of some sort, someone you trust, a best friend that can listen and give feedback or just listen. But a journal, I would say journal doesn't talk back. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't hate on you. It doesn't judge you. There's no bias with the journal. I think that's why I love it so much. It's just a neutral receiver of my words. It helps process. Detangle is a word I use a lot for journaling. It literally detangles my thinking, detangles my confusion, emotions, if they're netted up together. So that's a practical way that I think that I would encourage folks. I encourage folks all the time to journal. I don't know how many journaling sessions I've gone into that you go in a certain way and you come out and you just kind of feel lighter. You feel like you left at least some of the burden. It's not magic. You leave some of the burden on paper. Again, a therapist goes further than that because they can actually help you, give you tools to navigate some of the things that you struggle with, or counselor, or again, however, trust that person that can give you tools to navigate reframing your thinking around life, because life is hard. I don't care what season you're in. I mean, I've pretty much, every now and then I hear my 9-year-old say, man, being a kid is so hard, mommy. And I'm like, this is my face when she says it. And, you know, I try not to say, girl, you don't even know. But I think she reads it. I'm like, Tammy. So, yeah, you know, you're right. Life is probably hard being a kid because you feel like you're limited a little bit and you can't. But every season has its own, you know, I try to give a balanced response. But there's hard in every season of life, right? And being able to offload that in safe spaces where there's care and love and concern is priceless. It's priceless.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of points that really resonate with me. One is, yes, this mental health issues can lead to other issues, other problems. When folks think about substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or it's drugs, oftentimes, and I will say oftentimes, there is a mental health issue that underlies this, and the inability to self-regulate, the inability to find the right coping mechanism. We're, you know, so there's pharmacology there, and pharmacology includes alcohol, right? It can include tobacco. Absolutely. So all of those, we resort to cigarettes when we, you know, maybe we have anxiety. So smoking that cigarette is thought to be a release, or maybe it's something stronger than that. So we shouldn't take for granted that those individuals that are abusing substances are just bad people, because they're not. They're largely good people that may have an underlying issue. And it could be the person next door. It could be someone in your own home. So help that person to navigate through these issues, to be that support person, is really important. And it can also help you. Because let's face it, when we feel that when we are helping others, it does help us to feel emotionally rewarded.
Absolutely.
Perhaps more so than any sort of gift that one could receive. That is a grace that one receives by helping out.
Absolutely. It's what you've just talked about also taps into another form of wellness, which I'm not going to give it away now, but I'm making a note to make sure I circle back to that. But it's a part of it. Absolutely. One thing you said that I do want to take the opportunity to say, one of the things also on SAMHSA's website, they have a hotline with phone numbers for various emergencies, mental health or substance use emergencies. One that I always share because it's easy, we have a mental health 911, which is 988. And 988, you can call or text for immediate help for folks who are suicidal or have urgent mental health substance use needs. They can call or text that number. It was instituted I don't want to give the wrong date, pretty confident 2022 nationally. And so if anyone listening who is maybe in a place of crisis mentally, where they feel like I'm past journaling, yeah, I'm past that, right? Or they just feel that more urgent need, then I would strongly suggest that they contact that number or pass it on or save it or memorize it for someone else in your life. I think also when you were talking about the substance use and mental health in general, medication assisted treatment, right? So again, there's methadone as one example there. Oftentimes the recommendation is to pair the use of medication with non-pharmacologic treatment. So whether it's in a psychiatrist, a therapist, to navigate the trauma and to navigate the drivers and to provide tools to be able to fight well and to win, really, not just to live a life of forever struggling, but to win and to be able to be a contributor to society. So just wanted to add that in there, and then we'll jump into number two, because literally we can camp out with each for probably longer than we have. So the next one I'll do is spiritual. And personally, too, my foundational core wellness one, I would say, is spiritual, because it also helps me stay in touch with all the other ones. Because when I am properly filling my cup spiritually, the other things that are gaps are highlighted. So that's, for me, what makes it the secret sauce. So when I'm there, I'm like, yeah, I need to get out today. I'm just in a more attuned place, right? And so for spiritual, it expands our sense of purpose and meaning in life. And so what you had said earlier about generosity and giving back, it's a big part of spiritual wellness, is that sense of feeling like, because our purpose in life is really not onto our own of, and you embody this beautifully with pharma for sure, because you could have stayed in a well-cushioned position and stayed there and build a bigger and bigger nest egg, but you took a big risk in every way probably possible, not just financially. And so thinking of even that, you were pursuing something larger than yourself, a life of meaning and purpose. And for me, with my faith, my life of meaning and purpose is not, I don't find it in, you know, just from the air. I believe I was created. And so if I was created, it starts there. Who created me and why? And that's what spiritual wellness gets into. But regardless of folks, I think, religion, practices, and all of that, I think settling down, and this is why emotional wellness is another, I think for me, if I would pick the top two that really would help you guarantee the other six come together, those are the two. Because with emotional wellness also comes self-awareness. I didn't talk about that. Self-awareness and having that level of awareness to see, like, where am I? What do I need? And what do I need to go into to have those needs met in a healthy way? So the spiritual wellness, again, when you think of prayers, right? Again, regardless of your religion or creed, many religions do pray. Prayer is a place of great release, is a place of, for me, communicating with God. I also my journaling. So a lot of things connect, right? My journaling, I sometimes pray journal, if you've ever heard such a term. It's a thing. And for some, they're reading an inspirational spiritual book. For me, it's the scriptures. For some, it's the Quran. For others, it's other books. But something outside, first understanding why were you created? How are you here? How did you get here? And for what purpose? And for some of us, it literally takes our whole life to fully unravel. And I think that's part of the adventure. But for different seasons as we journey on, settling into that season and recognizing for right here, right now, what's in my hands and who is in front of me and who are the people around me and how can I bring those, right? So having great, strong spiritual practices, prayers, volunteering, giving back to the community, even meditation, which also connects with emotional a little bit. They're all helping to keep you centered and going from a place of knowingness. Another thing that drives, I think, spiritual wellness is core values. What are your core values that you're navigating life from, right? Like, I have a growing list of core values. They don't grow too much, but I've had some like, I think I'm missing something here, but it's like six or seven of them. And they literally, regardless of where I show up, how I show up in whatever space I'm in, it's the underpinning to who I am and how I show up, right? And so that's how I would describe the spiritual wellness component, at least briefly.
And you said something that I want to reinforce. This is not about religiosity. This is really about whatever you believe that grounds you, that brings you, that where you can share your gifts, because in sharing your gifts, it does become a spiritual exercise. And we talked about paying it forward, and paying it forward is a spiritual exercise, whether we want to admit it or not, because we are treating others as we would want to be treated, right? We care for others the way we want to, that we would hope they would care for ourselves. Kind of a basic principle. And I know we sometimes, when we think about spirituality, people say, I don't want to touch that.
Not a religious person is the term.
Not a religious person. I don't believe what you believe. It's okay. No judgment zone here.
But it has been shown that those individuals that have spiritual values tend to do better. They tend to live life to the fullest, whatever that means.
That's right.
Living to, you know,
based on your potential, your circumstance, and
yeah, absolutely. So there is data to demonstrate that those that have a spiritual foundation, who have core values, as you described, tend to do better overall, and particularly when faced with life crises. So we talked about emotional wellness. And when faced with a crisis, if you can rely on that core, those core values, and on your spirituality, it provides us with a grounding and a resilience and an ability, a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
So not resorting to other means. And I know with
absolutely.
And we hear this with individuals that are recovering from certain addictions. Connecting with that spirituality, whatever that is, them to feel valued and worthwhile in a way that pharmacology, yes, supports that. And we know medication-assisted treatment is the way to go, combined with CBT. But connecting with your spiritual self is so important in just about every area. And that's why I named it as my number one.
Absolutely.
It is my number one.
Because we can, at the end of the day, it's to the degree that we ourselves love ourselves and are filled up ourselves, that we can love others and help them get filled as well. You know, we hear the term, you can't pour from an empty cup, literally. And my new way that I even think about it now is a step further, not just that I pour from being full, but that I let my pour be from an overflow. I heard a preacher say that the other day, and I'm like, oh, I'm stealing that. I am so keeping that. Because then that way I stay full ongoing to continue to be able to pour to others. I don't just get low, pour, and then be able to get low, pour. It's like a perpetual depletion that you're constantly refilling versus a place of staying filled up and overflowing. And this way, we go anywhere and there we are. We can be a blessing to other people.
Yes.
So that visual was, when I heard him say that, it really resonated. I think it was Bill Johnson was the name of the author of that quote. To give it to him, I wish I came up with that, but it really resonated with me.
I used the illustration, the metaphor of the cup being filled versus the cup being emptied, and our inability to share with others when your cup is empty. And I actually took it from an old song from the Grateful Dead, and probably any of you that have listened to my podcast have heard me recite this numerous times, but I had not heard from Pastor Bill Johnson, but it does make absolutely perfect sense to me. And anyone that's listening probably can relate. If you are spent, if you're emotionally, physically, and otherwise spent, you have no ability to share with them.
Yeah.
Very, very important.
Yeah. And I think that theme runs through every single dimension of wellness. When you think about financially, which I think we should go to next, you can have a heart big enough to move mountains, but when it's time for the mountain to get moved, and it takes $20 and you have two, the mountain stays in place, I'd say, right? Unless you go borrow, which is debts, which is, you know, I mean, some debts are good, right? This is not a financial podcast, but the point is we're able to be more generous financially when we have those streams of income and opportunities to pull from here to give to this need or a stranger or a friend or a family member in desperate circumstances. That same theme of giving from an overflow, like, yes, it's helpful to, you kind of got to have the cash to give, you know? So we can jump into financial wellness. It says it's the satisfaction. This is a very short summary with current and future financial situations. So I'll
teasing earlier that, you know, I'm pretty sure I think about retirement and future situations financially more than, you know, I could. But hey, this is me judging me. So it's all good. But when I think of financial wellness, I think of, it's easy to think of a budget, right? Having a budget, not just having it, but working a budget. I feel like I'm always working on a budget. And then a healthy savings account, which some say have, you know, X amount of months. You know, again, this is not a financial podcast. Please don't take financial advice necessarily from us. But having, these are important disclaimers, having a certain amount of month savings, for example, so that if an emergency came up, I don't know, your car broke down or your kid has to have an expense come up, you have that to tap into without getting into your day-to-day expenses. And then I also think of investing. I am an avid investor in all, you know, I have some crypto. Don't hate me, don't love me if you do, you know, I don't know. It's a divisive issue, but I love diversity. I think I would say that one of my principles around financial wellness is diversity, diversifying the ways that you go at it, because then you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. Certainly don't put all your eggs in Bitcoin or in cryptocurrency. I wouldn't put all my money in a savings account because it's getting less as the inflation goes up, you know what I mean? And then I wouldn't put all my money in stocks either because, hey, I like to diversify. Real estate is another way that you can invest, or land, or however way. Again, just diversifying, I think, adds a little peace of mind because anything can hit at any point out of our control. And we don't feel like we just lost our whole nest egg, like a lot of folks did in 2008 and in other recession years. And so my encouragement around financial wellness is always look at all those different buckets that I've mentioned. So your checking is your day-to-day expenses, having a budget, but your savings account. How are you investing? Investing is not for today. Investing is not something you want to tap into if you need it in 3 months, usually. Now, you can do some short-term, but usually it's long-term. Your stocks, real estate, I love real estate. I love learning about it. I love learning different things about it, and I invest in it as well. So I strongly suggest finding your mix, what you're comfortable with. I do suggest, too, that you absolutely have people around you that know more about it than you do so you can keep learning and have that financial education because, you want to protect your assets. So I strongly suggest making sure that you'd get a lot of education around that, basic education available through Uncle Google, Auntie Google, however way you address him or her. But that's really important. That gives peace of mind. It also gives the flexibility. So imagine with the spiritual wellness, we talked about generosity, right? To be generous, it's not just generosity of money. I know that. It's generosity of time, of life, of all of it. But money is certainly a good part of generosity. You want to support this foundation over here. You want to give to this cause over here. Well, it helps if you have a budget or you know how much wiggle room you have, right? And so they all connect together is another piece of this. As you've been hearing us talk already, one of my favorite things about the eight dimensions of wellness is the interconnectedness. There's a lot of interconnectedness. And so you can pick a goal or a wellness focus and you can craft it in a way that it hits multiple wellness dimensions. That's how I do mine. Because then I kill two birds with, well, I don't like killing birds, but you know what I mean? You can hit multiple goals with one thing. You can hit multiple dimensions with one goal, right? So I'll leave it there for the financials, see if you have any additional insights, Sherry.
So one of the things that is really important, which is what you were highlighting, is the financial literacy component. Because let's say, we as women are very capable of making these financial decisions. Oftentimes, men tend to want to make these financial decisions on our behalf. Become financially literate. Women, if you're not able to have this conversation with your partner, if your partner is a male, it doesn't matter whether your partner is a female or if you have no partner, you must be financially literate so that you understand what your options are.
The other important lesson that I learned growing up was you never spend more than you earn. So I understand people like may need credit, and that's not a bad thing. Women want to establish credit. But if you are extending yourself beyond your means, we know that it can be very disastrous. So we need to be mindful of what it is that we are earning and what we are spending. So it's inflows and outflows, cash inflow, cash outflow. And if there's an imbalance, it will only continue to grow unless you are self-aware and can say, I'm going to change that habit. I'm not going to purchase one more thing on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon gets us all.
Cut it off. And it's easier said than done. That's where the self-awareness piece comes into play. So you know your own situation. You understand what your wants versus needs are. And I use this a lot with daughter. Wants versus needs. Sometimes we have to delay that gratification. So we need to delay that gratification. I've lived it. I'm sure Toyin has lived it. But financial literacy is the number one priority. The other thing that I think is really interesting, and you mentioned this, it goes back to if the cup is full. I always say, if you don't have gas in the gas tank, it won't run. And I use that as a business metaphor.
Yeah.
I saw a movie this weekend, Cabrini. I highly, highly recommend it. Phenomenal. It's Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini. Yes, she started many orphanages. She's started institutions of higher learning, etc. The one thing she did, and she did it well, and I encourage everyone to think about this. She knew she needed to raise money in order to help these poor children. So she made it her business to go out and fundraise so that she had ample resources to do good. And she did. So I'll just put in a plug for the movie. It is a wonderful movie. You don't have to be Catholic, Christian, what have you. It's a great movie. I encourage entrepreneurs to watch it. I encourage women to watch it because here she was, a woman in a religious institution that devalued her as a woman. And in spite of that, she succeeded. I will stop there.
Yeah, I think one last piece I would add, again, connecting the dots for financial and emotional, is when you have that raised level of awareness about who you are, your drivers, and also maybe your default coping mechanisms. You know, we've all heard someone saying they're retail therapy. You've heard that term. And so, but if retail therapy is the way you get emotionally well and you are strapped on the financial situation, you can see where the challenges lie, right? And so sometimes the financial mismatch, as you were describing, the inflows and the outflows, sometimes is not about the gap. It's about what's driving the gap, right? And so hopefully, again, as you're thinking of applying these dimensions and seeing how you can implement some goals and tools around it for your own personal life, those connections are very important. It's not just about listing, goal number one, I'm going to save this amount. And goal number two, well, it doesn't matter if you save that amount. If you have a ill coping strategy, that will drain it. Right? So just wanted to make that final connection. And then the fourth one you wanted us to touch on was?
Intellectual.
So well, there we go. That was part of intellectual wellness, memory. So intellectual wellness has to do with
that.
What you say?
I don't think you struggle with that when talking.
Oh, listen, I'm making a good joke. But, you know, you mentioned it earlier, and I'm like, okay, what was the fourth one? So intellectual wellness has to do with recognizing creative abilities and finding ways to expand knowledge and skills. And it also has to do with, you know, strengthening our memory and I think that that's the best description right there. Creative abilities is huge. And so
No two people have the same set of creative abilities. So for me, as I shared as part of my introduction, I'm also a writer. I was a singer at some point in my life. Once a singer, always a singer, but I don't sing professionally. But I did for a good part of my life there. And I'm an avid reader. I love reading. And all of those things expand not just my personal abilities, but it just kind of stretches you in a way that you don't get stretched any other way. I also, a few years ago, started feeling like I wanted to learn a new creative skill. I'm like, okay, I know I do this and I know I do that, but sometimes when you get into those things, so if you're a singer and singing, sometimes you start critiquing yourself. I'm like, this is no longer fun, right? You kind of need to find new skills sometimes. So I wanted to delve into another form of creative expression, and I got into painting. But, you know, I'm nobody's painter. However, there's a thing called painting with a twist, where there's an instructor there and they give you stroke by stroke what to do. So I think I've done it 4 or 5 times now. I have one right there. If you look behind me there, you see the lovely girl with the fro and the blue background. You know, that was fun painting her. And I painted a bunch of other things. I don't know if you can see right there. It's pretty far away, this yellow wooding. It says Adventure Await. I did that on a birthday a few years ago. Saying all that to say, right, it might shift. So you might start with thinking, okay, I want to challenge myself intellectually by getting into reading more fiction books, or more historical fiction. Whatever it is for you, just recognizing it's not, don't, and this applies for a bunch of the other things too. You don't have to have it in a box and it never changes intellectually, right? Like you can, in a couple years, realize, like one time I got it, I went to a pottery class. It was fun, but I'm like, I don't like the mess. I like the outcome. I didn't like all the, but it was interesting. I came alive in it. So what is that for you, right? What are some creative ways that you can explore and expand yourself? Or maybe it's saying yes the next time a colleague says, oh, let's go do this. And you're like, I'm not into that. Well, sometimes we need to get into things sometimes that we're not into to expand our intellectual capabilities. And you come out of it feeling like, sure, learn something new today. You know, so for the painting, I haven't done it much. I kind of did it back to back to back because I was like, oh, this is exciting. And I come out looking like I'm actually a painter. I'm not, right? But now I'm like, okay, I need a new one. I'm trying to think of which one, a woodwork or whatever. So they keep you challenged. They expand your skills. Reading is a big one. I think we can all do more reading. I've heard readers are leaders. I don't know whose quote that is. It might be, I'll tell you who says it a lot is John Maxwell. So if it's not his, we can ask him. But readers are leaders. And so I always encourage reading. I read quite a bit. I'm currently reading a book about memory right now, which is what memory is top of mind, titled Unlimited Memory. But again, strengthening our memory, learning how to hone in, that those are things that help our intellectual wellness. Because it helps if you're remembering the wonderful thing you're learning.
Yeah.
You know?
And there are lots of opportunities to learn new skills. So if reading is not your thing, you can build new neural pathways by learning a new skill, whatever that is, whether it's woodworking or it's pottery or it's painting or learning to play an instrument. Yes. If reading is your thing, you don't have to spend money ordering books on Amazon. Go to your local public library. There are an ample number of books there. Ways to challenge yourself. Listening to podcasts, by the way, and listening to a podcast where you have individuals like Dr. Fadiyevi and others who can share knowledge with you that you otherwise would not digest, absorb. And I always say that our podcasts, and I pray this is the case, at least this is the feedback we're getting from lots of our listeners, I learned something new. That's the goal. The goal is this is a teaching moment. So we want you to consume, if you're a voracious consumer of podcasts, that is another way to learn something new. My personal passion is nonfiction. Guess what I read? I read a lot about medicine. And I always have. So I'll throw in another book that I think women might love. and it's called The XX Brain, and it's by Dr. Lisa Moscone. And so I'm, you know, learning more about how our brains change during various life transitions. Very beneficial. Dr. Moscone is a neuroscientist, and she is, she also works with Maria Shriver. So they're also focused on dementia and Alzheimer's, and women are at risk, greater risk than their male counterparts. But there are things we can do. There are things we can do, which is why if we think about the intellectual, continuing to invest in building those new neural pathways throughout our various life transitions can help us. And it, again, it doesn't have to be book learning. You don't have to take college courses. Although if you want to, there are plenty of free courses online.
Sure.
So if you have a computer or a phone, you can find them on edX and other places. Some are free, some are small. There's a small fee, but lots of opportunities for intellectual, those that are intellectually curious to pursue that.
Or, and some libraries now and community centers offer group sessions around things. I'm actually was looking into one in my area the other day, and a colleague of mine and I were like, oh, we should sign up for the same kind of group and do it. It's like they would do like 6 week things around, because one of the things I'm fascinated with. So like I said, I authored a devotional coloring book, but I'm actually not an illustrator. So I did the writing and the visioning for the illustrations, but I can't draw. So I'm like, you know, God, it would be great to have a drawing gift. That would have been really dope. And but I don't. So I just partner with the folks who have that gift. And I'm like trying to, with words, describe the vision in my head for a picture. And then when I see it, I'm like, that ain't it. Or I'm like, that's it. Right. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a drawing class. Like, I don't have the gift, but I can learn the basics where, like, if I'm sitting somewhere one day and I want to draw something, it doesn't look like a stick figure. So they have classes like that. You know, bringing that fun example to say, like, sometimes your library and your community centers in your neighborhood are hosting those things. And they're affordable. They're cheaper than if you had a private teacher or tutor than that. So they have one for painting. They have all kinds of fun stuff there. Textile thing. There can be variety too. I think that's the other piece I want to encourage for your intellectual wellness. Mix a couple of those up. You've heard us mention a couple of things. For me, I said, you know, it was painting for a good while, and it's fun. I still do, but not as often because I got it together. I'm like, okay, that was fun. I did pottery a little bit, same music and stuff, and a lot of reading. So, and I don't do all of that every time, every season at the same measure. It shifts and changes, but I have those options. And I think knowing what your options are, picking the options that fit the current flow and season of your life is where you want to be, because that would, you don't want to add stress to a wellness dimension. You don't need stress to cultivate wellness practices, because that undoes the whole point. Like, why are we trying to get to wellness, but we're stressed out coming up with a plan?
We put these eight dimensions on the list, and you know, you're going to glaze over and think, oh my gosh, why I can't even accomplish four. Remember, small steps. I always, the, you know, bite-sized pieces. I used to share that with my kids. You need to take small steps before you can take bigger steps. You don't run a marathon the second day you go out with your sneakers. And neither do you tackle all eight dimensions equally when you want to embark on your wellness journey.
Can I give a homework to your listeners?
Yes, of course.
So, if you are going to be, if you feel like you're curious enough and you're going to come back to part two to get the 5 through 8, come back to 5 through 8 with two goals that you've crafted around the four you've listened to. So she just talked about, Jerry just talked about, you know, we're not trying to run a marathon in a day, essentially. I mean, you would never run a 5K in a day. Maybe you could try for a 5K. I've heard of those. Have you heard of those couch to 5K? So consider this your 5K.
Right.
What'd you say?
And they'll show up in the ER.
Some people have done it. They've couched a 5K. But, you know, in this case, we want you to have a soft landing. So I would say do create two goals and you get to pick from spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and financial. Pick two that I would say pick two that are the most, where you're most deficient. So if you're listening and you're like, oh, I have financial under control. Well, don't pick a goal there. Let that be your already one checkmark. Pick two from the others that you are most deficient in. And then just pick a goal. Even if you have five things you want to tackle, start with one goal and just come to part two with your two goals. Now, you know, it's not like we're in a live session where you can bring your comments, because I would love to like coach you through it and talk you through it. That'd be fun. But hey, you can email Jerry and share, hey, I have my goals. Like, she would love to hear from you. Or share with an accountability partner, right? We talked about the emotional wellness piece. Like, this is part of it. You can have a friend who's like, these are my new two goals. I've done that in my place of employment with my team regularly in our team meetings. I'm like, how are your wellness goals coming? What are the two you said from a quarter ago? How are you doing on it? We don't talk about all eight every time. Just pick the one or two that are pressing. All right. So I hope you will commit to a few minutes of reflection, maybe with a journal, and writing those goals down and setting an intention to achieve them.
And then I think in the next section, the next session that we do on this podcast, I want to talk about habits and self-regulation, because those are two important components of wellness. And we'll delve into that more so in the next session. So come prepared, thinking about what are your habits? How do you self-regulate? What is the key to success here, right? Most of you listening to this know what your habits are, know what you need to change. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you have a really good habit. You don't need to change that. And you probably have a high level of self-regulation. What does that mean? So for next time, think about what Dr. Toyin Fadiyibi has shared with you today. Email me or just write it down on a piece of paper so you come prepared for the next session. Toyin, it is always a pleasure.
You as well.
So enjoyed having this conversation with you. I hope that you, our listeners, have enjoyed it as much as I have. I always learn things when I have my podcast experts join me. Just a very stimulating conversation, and I hope that you learned something new today. Remember what we said, you know, it's building those neural pathways. Toyin, thank you once again. For those that have listened in, I want to thank you, and I want to want you to remember to love Mia Vita, love my life. This is Jerry DiPiano with Dr. Toyin Fadiyibi, signing off. Thank you and take good care.
Thank you.